No, I'm going to do it twice tonight.
Oh, you are? How so?
First time and last time.
And then the other question I have for you is, what should we be thinking? Since your wife is hiding behind the, over there in the sound booth, she's like ducking behind.
Is she?
Yeah.
I didn't know she was here. I told her not to show up. I didn't want her to be embarrassed.
I'm not sure what to think about that, Kay.
Oh, that's okay.
All right. Let me pray.
Go ahead. Oh, yeah. Oh, is that what you said?
No, I was going to pray for you, but you can
that's
say
what I said. Go ahead.
I was saving you from whatever you're going to say about your wife so that, just helping you out there.
I didn't want to embarrass her. That's why I told her not to.
Oh, okay. All right. Let's pray for Larry. Father, thank you for a chance to hear from Larry tonight. And we think of his wisdom. We think of his faithful service. We think of his bottom line common sense that he has in his approach to life and even his approach in faith. And I pray, Lord, that those kinds of things tonight would rub off on us, that we would be blessed, that we would grow, that we would be challenged by what he has to say. So give him clear thinking, clear speaking, and give us submissive, obedient hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Well, if anybody watched Charles Stanley on television, he has a stool, right? So that's what gave me permission to use this stool. If I could only speak like him, it would be great. Okay, I got to being very simple and trying to figure out where the... Afraid to put this here after... I'll put it here. I like to look at reality of things. So my question here is tonight, why are we here? Why do we come here Sunday night? Why do we come here Sunday morning? Why do we come here Wednesday night or Thursday night? Let's analyze why we really come here. Why do we meet together? Because our wife tells us to come, because our husband tells us to come, because our parents tell us to come. Well, those aren't all bad things, but that shouldn't be the main reason we're here. We're supposed to be here because we're committed followers of Jesus. And by meeting, we can learn and encourage each other to obey the teachings of the Bible. So I was reading this book that we've been looking at as leadership called The Vine. There's another one, it's called The Vine and a Trellis. And it kind of explains what we should do, why we should do it, when we should do it, and how we should do it. So first, let's talk about who is a church. Who is a church? It's not what is a church. We all think of church as a building. Well, a building is a convenience for the real church, which is us. So what does God call us together for? Well, I was reading that book, and it really amounts to one thing. Become a disciple. We think of a disciple as one of the 12 guys that followed Jesus around for a couple, 3 years. Well, that period is over. Why do you suppose he did that? Personally, I think he did it as an example as to why we should continue to do that. Jesus was teaching them in person at the time by showing them and telling them how to start and initiate and progress the church. Well, those guys left, and then Jesus left. But fortunately, he left the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to direct us now. So really what we are is disciples. We are the ones that the future of the church is dependent upon. So it's our responsibility as a chosen people to disciple those who we come in contact with. A disciple, according to Luke 6:40 says, a disciple is not above his teacher, but when fully trained, will be like his teacher. Well, that's what these people, the original 12, did. They were fully trained because they became like their teacher. Well, none of us get to that perfection, but that's the direction that we're expected to go. Okay, now if you're a disciple, what do? Do you just continue to come to church and shake hands with your friends and talk about the football game you went to last week? Those are all good things, but that shouldn't be the main reason we're here. Some of the things that we should commit to is we become disciples or learners, as some people call it. We should commit to prayer. We should pursue a great and growing vision of who God is. And how do we do that? Study the Word. In our men's Bible study class, we got a pat answer. What is it, Chuck? Dan, you know. Pray and read the Bible. That's the answer to most of the questions. Okay, we pursue a greater growing vision of God by studying His Word. We show faith that overcomes doubt in others. So as we're roaming around out in the world at work or at school or in the grocery store, do we show our faith? Sometimes. Do we delegate, orchestrate, demonstrate, encourage others to serve God? Remember, we're disciples. That's our job. I hate to bring this up, but sometimes people will say, well, I'm going to go on the mission field. That's a great thing. Why are you going? Well, I can't get a job. That's a bad thing. I say, have you talked to your next door neighbor about the Lord? Well, no. So everybody is an evangelist. Everybody has a field for ministry, whether it's our next door neighbor or the kid that sucks next to us in class, or sometimes our teachers. So once we demonstrate that we have a passion to spread the word, then it's time to do it. Okay, Philippians 4:9 says, you have learned and received and heard and seen in me practices this, these things, and the peace of God will be with you. Paul said that, and he was kind of the next best thing to Jesus. Then in Acts 6:7, it says, the word of God continued to increase. In Acts 12:24, the word of God increased. In Acts 13:49, the word of God spread. In Acts 19:20, the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail. While that was happening in the chapter of Acts, that's still supposed to be happening. And it's our job, our responsibility to promote that in whatever we do. So when we meet at church and we've talked about how are we gonna disciple the people, we've changed some study periods, we've changed some formats, and that's all fine and dandy as long as, and the question I always ask, if we're gonna do this, why? Well, it's all to accomplish making disciples and then being disciples. Do you get the picture? It's our responsibility to disciple, to make more disciples. That's our main purpose for being here. And I promised Laurel I was gonna tell a story. This old farmer was standing out in the field. Some of you guys have heard this before, but it seems so appropriate. Some of these old guys are this old farmer was standing in a field chewing on a piece of hay. And this young guy pulls up, dressed in a suit, come across the field with a book. And he said, "Mr. Farmer, I got a book here. You read this book and it'll make you rich farming. $29.95, you can get this book and you'll get rich farming." And the old farmer looks at him and he says, "That book ain't gonna do me no good, because I ain't doing half the things I already know." Well, we got a book here. How many things that we already know are we doing? And that's the crux of this story. How can we change our culture to be more focused on what the reason for being here is? Can we start a revival at Rothbury Community Church? You know how a revival starts? You draw a circle, 6-foot circle, and you get in the middle of it, and you change what's in the circle. And once we have changed, and we have been committed followers, then we're equipped and hopefully enthused to bring more people into that circle. So that's my message tonight. I was gonna put a candy in my mouth so I knew when I was done, but I knew of a guy that did that and he mistakenly put a stone in his mouth and he went on for 4 hours. So the bottom line here is, we're disciples. Let's go out and disciple. Hey guys. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time together. We thank you for the friendships that we have in this church. We thank you for the dedicated souls that we have in this church. And Father, I just pray that you equip us and encourage us to go out and do what we're supposed to do. In Jesus' name, amen.